Off the Ball Breakfast.
Oh, it's easy to sit here and send my team and have it ripped apart. What about your team? Where's your team? Come on. At least I'm putting my head above the parapet here.
Live every weekday morning from 7:30 on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa to play OTB Sports Radio.
The Koigig Pod on Off the Ball in association with Cadbury, official snack partner of the Republic of Ireland Women's National Team.
Katie McCabe, a huge, huge goal.
I'm very proud of the team's performance.
We're going to go out there to beat them. We're going to try and beat them.
Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the Koigig Podcast. Kathleen McNamee here with you as ever to take you through all the weekend's sporting action and also the stuff that was happening here at home to discuss the cup final, the WSL, and of course that big, big game against Georgia this Friday. I am joined by Jamie Finn and Scarlett Heron. How are we doing, guys?
Good, very good. As a Shell fan.
Well, I was going to say, Jamie, I saw you at the game on Sunday. You were there doing comms and I was there doing check-ins for Off the Ball. I imagine very happy, especially with how that first half went. Chatting to some of the players afterwards, I don't think anyone really expected it to go that way.
Yeah. Obviously, from a Shell's perspective, very good. But from a neutral, I don't think anyone really expected that. Maybe even Shell's, to be honest. But yeah, they just started so well. And then once they scored that first goal, it was just like a wave on wave. And at a cup final, you just need to be on your day. And Shells were really on their day. And unfortunately, Athlone weren't. And that's, yeah, coming in 6-1 at half time. Such a difficult scoreline for Athlone. Like, I'm not really sure what you could say at half time to those players. Whereas Owen, on the other hand, is probably saying, girls, it's nil all. Go back out there and like do the exact same that we done. But no, fair play to Shells. They were very, very clinical on the day.
Well, talking to Owen after the game, that's exactly what he said. That he said to them, you know, because there was nothing else. And I thought it was quite funny. You know, the players were saying, normally you're going in at halftime and they're saying, you did this wrong, you did that wrong. You know, we need to tighten it up here. Whereas there was none of that. And Scarlett, it's not something you necessarily expect to have in a cup final, maybe in an earlier round. But with how close these teams have been, not just this season, but in recent seasons, it was a bit of a shocker.
Yeah, I think it was a bit of a shock to everyone. Like at the game, watching at home, like it wasn't something you expected, especially off at loan, like the run they've had. I think they won 15 out of the 20 league games, and I think them and Shells and head to head was even enough. I think they both won one and drew. So like it was just a bit of a shock. But as Jamie said, like Shells were just brilliant on the day. And yeah, going in at half time, I suppose I was thinking at the time, Owen's probably going in saying, why, what's that goal about? You know, conceding right before half time when you're 6-0 up, you know, that's probably the standards that Shells are setting. Like that would be the standards that any team in that position would be setting, you know, keep your clean sheet. So I'd say it was more disappointment with that as well. And then go out and, as Jamie said, show the same again in the second half and make sure Athlone don't get a goal.
Yeah, for Athlone, so Shells clearly were on their game. They were handling the wind really well. They were into the wind in the first half, kind of with it in the second half, which they did struggle a little bit more with, I feel, just because any balls were being overhit. But obviously that was just the wind taking it, because it was crazy. I saw one little kid's sign fly out of their hands outside the stadium when I was on my way in and hit a car, and it was made of plastic, so it just smashed into a load of pieces. And I was like, don't know if we should be playing football in this situation. But for you guys, what was it that Athlone were missing? You know, they obviously they didn't have their captain on the pitch. They had won the league a couple of weeks before, so they had that as well. But what was the difference on the day?
Yeah, I think you kind of said it there. They were missing key players, their captain, as well as Chloe Singleton, two really key players for Athlone. But I think I said it on the podcast before, like they were in a difficult kind of situation. They won the league. And then you're on such a high, and then you have to come straight back down, straight back into training and really concentrate on the cup final. And for me, yeah, I just think they never really got going at all. They looked a bit leggy. But then on the other hand, Shells were just very, very good on the day. And like on a cup final day, it either goes your way or it doesn't. And it obviously really went Shells' way and therefore didn't go Athlone's.
Had the news then straight afterwards that Kilduff was leaving his position in Athlone, and that kind of puts a different spin on things again, because, you know, won the league. If anyone sees a 6-1 scoreline in a cup final, they're going to think a certain thing. But he's actually had a really good, successful story with this Athlone team, bar, I don't know if you can necessarily call it a little blip, but bar the blip of that final.
Yeah, I think Kilduff will be a huge loss, and especially I'm hoping he just stays in the league, because obviously there'll probably be a few jobs opening up for him, maybe in the men's game as well. So he's just been a great advocate for the league, obviously coming in and really speaking up for his players and different things, get recognition that they deserve, obviously coming off the back of the league win. But yeah, just on the day, it just wasn't for them. They did brilliant in the league campaign. And it was just a bit of a pity that it was sort of ended on that note. Obviously, Jamie mentioned that you're coming down off the high of winning the league, and that probably affects them a little bit. You know, it's mental more than anything, having to come back down into a cup final. That's standard, and as well as that, like, their team's very young. A lot of their players were underage as well, so it's difficult to come back down off that, and also not have the experience of a cup final.
Yeah, it was definitely... Oh, go ahead, Jamie.
Sorry, no, I was just adding on that. Like, I think I was doing the comms for RT, and they actually said that it was Pearl's 9th final, which is... That's crazy. Like, and she just led by example as well, Pearl, at the back. And like she always does, like, she's such a leader and such a great captain for Shells. And she's just been there so long. And to have a 9th cup final is just testament to herself as a player, as a professional. And yeah, as the club as well, I think they're in and around the cup final every single year. And again, testament to the club, because a club like Shelburne is so big, but it does have a turnover of players. They come in, they develop, some leave, some stay. And to keep that core group of players still going and still bringing it every single year, and they're thereabouts for the final and the league as well, it's a testament to the club, yeah.
Yeah, well, I think Noelle as well, wasn't it her like 10th or 11th? Like, between them, they've had an insane amount of FA Cup experience or FAI Cup experience. And like, that can only stand as a testament to the team to also have those cam heads, I suppose, going in at halftime when you are 6-1 up. Because when the conditions are that mad, you wouldn't totally rule out Athlone coming in the second half and actually being able to hit a few passes. But if anything, you know, in the second half, it was really Katie Keane who kept. There was that Alex Kavanagh free kick that she tipped over the bar. That was brilliant. And a couple of other opportunities for them to get more goals on top of. So if anything, you maybe need to credit Athlone that they were able to keep it that low after going 6 goals down. In terms of the season itself, Scarlett, like, if you're Athlone, how do you reflect on it? You know, is the cup final the thing that's going to be in your head, since it was such a whitewash? Or do you think as a player, you're able to take a bit of time and reflect differently?
Yeah, I'd say the cup final would be a huge blow to them, you know, just such a dampener on such a great year. But I think once you get a few, maybe a week or so into off season, you'll kind of reflect. You'll have time to look back on the season, because there was no break in the year either. There's usually a 2-week break in the middle, so they just played through this year to get the league finished before this international break. So I think after a while of reflection, they'll realise, like, this has been a huge year for them, and they've been absolutely immense all season, you know, on and off the field. They've just been really, really good. So,
well, you mentioned it there about the international break that's coming up, which is a perfect segue for us into that game against Georgia on Friday. Some team news that came out earlier today was that Megan Connolly and Louise Quinn won't participate over the two games because of injuries, and that they're going to leave the squad, but that there won't be any replacements called up for them. And then also, obviously, we're going to be missing Courtney for that first game because she is suspended. Jamie, I know we've kind of briefly mentioned this game a couple of times at this stage and the expectations that are going into it, but it was interesting chatting to some of the players on Monday who are all saying you basically need to leave everything at the door. Nothing has happened before this. This is a totally clean slate.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's what you do when you go into camp. You go in and it's a fresh new week, looking forward to Friday. But it's an exciting game. These two games are really exciting because looking forward to next summer, that's the goal, that's the aim. And yeah, Georgia up first. It's an exciting game. It's one where, yeah, we've beaten them by numerous amounts of goals previous, but as you said, that's parked. We learn from what we done well and what we didn't do well as well. And we come into Friday with confidence, but don't underestimate anyone, especially considering it's a playoff for a spot at a Euros. So,
and how, you know, if you're going into these games, how do you keep that focus on we need to take this step and then we have to focus on Wales and Slovakia? You know, how do you keep yourself in that sort of line, I suppose?
Yeah, I think it's generally not looking too far ahead. It's literally just this week and we take it this game, this first game. We're not really looking at Tuesday. You look at Friday, see how we prepare and get the win. And then we obviously look at Tuesday and then see how we are from there. But I think it's important to have that kind of, yeah, going looking towards that. And we're not really looking towards the next international break because, yeah, it's not really wise to do that. I think just game by game.
Scarlett, what are you thinking for this game? Like, what are you looking to see from Eileen Gleeson's side? Because obviously we have a certain view of it in our heads, and some people have mentioned it might be an opportunity to give people minutes, or it might be an opportunity to test things out. You know, since we had the last international break, we've lost Jessu. We don't have Louise and Megan for the game as well. We don't have Courtney for this game. You know, who's going to play in goal? We've had such a solid goalkeeper for the last couple of years. It hasn't really even been a question that's come into our minds, or at least not a question we wanted to think about, because it would probably mean she was injured or something.
Yeah, no, I think as well, it's as you say about Courtney there, it's probably good to get a separate keeper some international minutes. Obviously, Courtney's just been like a brick wall in there and no one else has really got a chance, which is obviously understandable given her quality, but it's probably good so that we have a keeper that if something was to happen that could step in, you know, and this is the perfect opportunity for that. But I think the first thing, you have to win the game, and I think you have to put on a performance as well. Obviously the away leg on Friday be a bit trickier, but I think you have to go out and win the game, put it to bed before the second leg, and then in the second game you can maybe try things out, you know, give people minutes. But I think Friday is all about getting a good performance in, keeping a clean sheet and winning by a good amount so that we can look forward to Tuesday then and not have any pressure on ourselves.
Yeah, maybe Tala will see another big old scoreline after Sunday and the last time we played Georgia there. It'll be good. Jamie, do you foresee much of a shakeup beyond, say, the injuries that we have mentioned? Or, you know, we've seen there's a couple of younger players in the squad. There's a couple of people who are maybe still trying to prove themselves within the squad. What do you think we should expect?
Yeah, it's a difficult one. I think obviously Scarlett hit the nail on the head there. Like, we need to win on Friday. We also need to win on Tuesday. But Friday, I think you'll see some core players playing. We need to win the game. But also, on the other hand, you have players kind of knocking at the door, wanting to get in and prove themselves. So, yeah, it's an opportunity for both to happen, to bring on subs as well. So I just think everyone, obviously going into every single camp, everyone's ready no matter if they play or not. I know that from being in there, so everyone will be prepped to play or come off the bench and do a job for the team. So
do you get, like, are you better watching these games at home, or are you better being in with the squad? Because obviously the hope is we get to Switzerland next summer, you're back fit, you're vying for that place in the squad. You obviously prefer to be fit and playing when you can, but what are you like as a at-home watcher? I remember was it Megan that had to watch the Scotland game from at home? Yeah. She was injured, and just seeing her hopping all over the place.
I'll probably be the same if that happens. No, to be fair, like, I've been doing some stuff with RTE as well, and that's been actually really nice to, because it kind of feels like I'm still in and around the team slightly. And yeah, that's been really nice, because yeah, it's not really nice sitting watching at home, because obviously I'd done the Cork game and I was pitch side, so that was really nice. Obviously I would like to be the other side of the line, but I'll get there soon.
Well, we will be looking forward to watching that game, and don't worry, we will have reaction and also build up for the Tuesday game, depending on how things go. It could just be, I remember doing the 11-0 with Karen, and the two of us were giddy afterwards because we recorded the pod straight after the game finished, and it had been a while since we'd had a win that was that big and that exciting. So expect similar levels of giddiness for the second time around. But for now, we shall move along to our next segment. And Scarlett, you've had the beautiful job of pulling together our team of the week. Would you like to run through who you have?
Yeah, I can do. So in goal, we have Sophie Bagley. I have a 4-4-2, sort of like a, what would you call it? A 4-2-2-2 with two wingers. I don't really know. Maybe like a 4-4-2, more like. In goal, we have Sophie Bagley. Right back, we have Celine Bissett-Elstroy for the second week running. Two centre halves of Gemma Banner and Sari Keys of Leicester. Left back, we have our very own Katie McCabe. Two sitting midfielders, we have Yuki Mamiki and we have Evelina Summonen. Left wing, we have Lauren Hemp. Right wing, we have Canaride. And up front, we have Black Stenius and Nikita Paris.
Beautiful. Well, good to see that the Irish bias is back. You know, I think you took our warnings last week when we suggested that there wasn't quite enough. Jamie, what do you make of this squad?
Yeah, decent squad. Again, one that really sticks out for me is Lauren Hemp. I think she'll be in and around Team of the Week for a lot of this season. She's just so consistent. Obviously, she got her goal and assist, and she's constantly on a 7+ out of 10 every single game. And she's just so direct and powerful. So that's one that kind of sticks out. And also Nikita Paris. Interesting one I've put down, like, she links well with Frank Kirby really well, and like to have those two players for Brighton, I think they will make a lot, a big difference this season for Brighton. I think they already have done that and kind of have shown that. But yeah, very good team. Bagley as well in goal for Brighton. She pulled off some great saves to keep it at 1-1. A few Leicester players in there. Obviously, they picked up 3 points, which is massive for them. And obviously, our Irish Katie McCabe in there. Very nice. But yeah, no, good team.
Scarlett, talk us through some of the players there. I mean, this is a second time we've seen Bidet in there, what she has been doing. As Jamie mentioned there, a couple of the Leicester players. You've got a nice spread from across the league.
Yeah, obviously I think the main one is Lauren Hemp, like as Jamie was saying, she's already touched on that. And then as well, Canarud was just electrifying again, up and down that wing. It's impossible to get near her. And yeah, I mean, Brighton, another great result, I think, at the weekend. I think drawing to Man United was a great result. And obviously Sophie Bagley, and I think Nikita Paris, as Jamie was saying, is really coming into herself. And then Leicester, I thought Momiki was just instrumental in the middle. You know, she's just breaking up play constantly. Was created their goal by breaking up play in the middle of the park, and she's just like she just never stops, just like an engine in there. So I thought she was really, really good for them as well, and that, as Jamie said, that win for them is huge as well. So yeah, I thought they were really stand out, like she was brilliant. So
probably Clinton, maybe,
that was one I was sort of debating that one, but I had her in last week as well. So yeah. I had already illustrating, and I thought, I don't know, Grace Clinton was brilliant again, obviously getting the goal, but she missed out this week.
Are there any other players that were kind of on the edge that sometimes I give Emma a subs bench that she's allowed to have if she wants?
Okay. Yeah, Mikey Hermano for Chelsea as well was very good. And then Catherine Bott was good for Leicester as well, I thought. And as well as that, Kazagawa from Man City as well. I think she's a really, really good player. But there are some players I've written down as well. But that was that's my subs bench done in it.
I mean, you would take either, to be fair, if you were to actually put together your perfect team. Thank you very much for that, Scarlett. You've kind of half mentioned it a little bit there with your Brighton picks, but they are the team that you are focusing on and how they have been transformed this season under Vidasek. So Massive result for them at the weekend with that 1-1 draw with United, and United being the kind of team that they'll be looking to become this season in terms of competition. Don't know if they're exactly at the testing the top three yet, although with the way Arsenal season is going, who knows? So what are the things that you have spotted that you think they're doing differently or better compared to previous years?
Yeah, so obviously Vidicic came in the off-season there in the summer, and already you can just see such a change in Brighton from last season. Like, they finished ninth last year and they're already on half the points nearly that they were on last year at this stage. So they're on 19, they got 19 points last year and they already have 10 this year after five games. So you can see in the results already that they're just a completely different team. Vidicic came from, he was in the Australian League. This is only his second ever coaching role. So he's still a bit premature to coach, and I think he was a player beforehand, but you can already see that he's doing really well, trying to bring them into a more attacking style of play, trying to get the fullbacks involved up high and really push them on, as well as having like a really strong control in the midfield with your base players. So that's kind of given Fran Kirby a bit of a license to sort of roam and express herself, and obviously link really well with Nikita Paris up front. He started off the season, playing like a 3-4-3 with them. So really utilising your sort of fullbacks and also having then two wingers as well. So you're really putting players out wide and getting that sort of wide spaces. And because of that, a lot of their goals have come from crosses so far this season. But against City, that was the game they lost this year. They only lost 1-0, but I don't know if a 4-2-3-1, which is sort of Brighton's old system, but they've been doing really, really well, and they kind of play with no fear. He pushes them on a bit to sort of go forward at every opportunity, and Brighton teams of old might have just been trying to like get a result by getting the ball up the pitch as quick as you can, like trying to boot it up, but they're really playing a good style of football at the minute, and I think he's been really, really good for them so far. So yeah, sky's the limit.
What are your thoughts on Brighton this season, Jamie?
Yeah, I would agree with what Scarlett was saying there. I think to bring in a new manager and then to bring in so many new players, sometimes it takes time to gel. And for Brighton, that's not really the case. I think what could maybe trip them up is a lack of consistency. If they can't keep this momentum going, and in football, it's all about momentum. Can you keep that streak going of good results, good performances, and can you keep players injury free? Especially your Nikita Paris, Frank Kirby have been, like we said, linking up really well, and yeah, they're now level on points with United. So it's been a really good start to the season for them. Like I said, they just need to continue and be consistent, and how they do that is up to their manager.
And so how did you find that United game at the weekend, Jamie, in terms of how United lined up against them, how they were able to break them down or not?
Yeah, it was obviously a 1-1 draw. They scored early on, which kind of helped. But I think Brighton did have a few chances just before the break too. But like I said, I was impressed. Impressed with more so Brighton, Nikita Paris, like as I said, and Kirby. But I think, as well as saying, I think we said in the team of the week, Bagley kept them in it, really. I think United probably should have scored come the end, but I think more so for Brighton, it was a good draw for Brighton.
It felt like a bit of a redemption match for Nikita Paris, just that she got the goal against her old team. She's had two goals in three league starts so far this season, as well as Brighton's progress. You can really see her progress, Scarlett, and the fact that she said that she's given, trying to give anyway, Serena Wiegmann a bit of a selection headache shows where competitively she's at in her head.
Yeah, obviously, it was a great sign-in for Brighton to get her in. Obviously, they lost Elizabeth Terrell to Man United, so it was kind of like a bit of a swap there, but she's been really good for them. She hasn't played a few games. They've been kind of swapping in and out up front, so Kiki Usyk has been playing, and Pauline Bremer as well, and then they have a young striker as well, Michelle Adjemang, who's come in a few times. I think she's
from Arsenal, yeah.
Yeah, so she's come in and she scored for them against Villa, and she's been really, really good as well. So there's a bit of competition up front. So for, I think Nikita Paris has finally like sort of instilled herself in that team. So she's been really, really good. Just a really strong player, and obviously a brilliant aerial threat. Like the header at the weekend, I don't know how she reacted that quickly to get onto it, but yeah, great player, and definitely given Serena a bit of a headache when it comes to selection, as I said.
Jamie, one of the other interesting results of the weekend that was also a draw was that game between Liverpool and Crystal Palace. And we've talked a bit about Crystal Palace and how we've seen them grow into the league. But Matt Beard was harsh enough on his players afterwards, saying that, you know, that their work rate wasn't great, that they lacked a bit of bravery, that they were lucky to get the point, basically, I think is what he was saying.
Yeah, again, I think probably disappointing for Liverpool to drop 2 points again. That brings them to sixth place. And I think we're just comparing this to last year as well. We obviously seen they finished really well last year, and you thought they would have brought this into this season. So that's, I think, why we're so kind of, this is not the great start that Liverpool probably expected from themselves. But in regards to Crystal Palace, I think they are kind of growing into the league. I think Stengel is going to be an important player for them. I think she's going to pop up and score important goals. Like she obviously did at the weekend. She scored against her old team too.
Another so trend of the weekend.
I think she will be very important for Crystal Palace this season, because now they're up into their ninth place with 4 points. So like I said, getting any points in this league is so important. And if you can pick up wins, if you're in that relegation battle, it's vitally important.
Scarlett, in your team of the week, you had a couple of Arsenal players. Obviously, a better weekend for them than they have had of late, getting that win, which was sorely needed, I suppose, for morale and everything. What was it with the likes of Blackstenius and Ford? I know we've had Ford in a couple of times, or she's been in and around, maybe not getting in necessarily just because Arsenal as a whole haven't been in the performances. But what was it that you saw with those players in particular that led us to this result?
Yeah, I think there was kind of a good vibe. I know you can't really read it on the screen, but you could tell that they were more up for it than usual. Obviously, you'll have sort of a new manager bounce, but they're obviously at the interim at the minute. So a good win midweek as well. So I think they'll really take that momentum into the next few games. Obviously, the international break kind of breaks it up a bit now, which is a bit unfortunate for them. But yeah, it was a good win. Obviously, kind of left it a bit late, getting the penalty late enough on, and then the final goal coming in the last few minutes. But I think they'll really, really take positives from that game. It's 3 points and they're back on track. So I think they needed that, I think, for morale as well, just to get the confidence of the players back up, because that's one thing you don't want is a team lacking in confidence, especially this early in the season. So really good win for them.
Yeah, Jamie, as Scarlett says, you can't really judge vibes off a TV screen, but they definitely seemed improved on previous weeks.
Yeah, definitely. I think as Scarlett was saying there, it's about morale now. They need to, like, obviously they hear the outside noise as a player. You obviously want to block that out as much as you can, but they want to get out there and they want to win as well. So yeah, they did kind of leave it a bit late. They obviously had a few decent chances in the first half. Blackstenius obviously got taken down for the penalty, and then made the assist for the second goal. So yeah, I thought she was kind of a standout too, but yeah, it leaves them now in sixth place, 8 points. So going in the right direction, again, consistency. But again, we have an international break that breaks it up. So yeah, it's a difficult one, but they got the 3 points and scored two goals.
Yeah, I suppose they'll be hoping to come out the other side of the international break with A, no injuries, and B, perhaps a bit of clarity on who is going to be that person that will take over for the next couple of months, or potentially even longer. I don't know, they might go down the Irish route of getting in a temporary manager that ends up lasting for far longer than anyone wanted. But I know that the club said themselves that they wanted to get someone permanent in that role. Difficult one for West Ham, because it leads them bottom of the table. Now, admittedly, there are three teams on 2 points at the bottom of the table: Aston Villa, Everton and West Ham. They're just down there because their goal difference, they're one worse off than Everton and three worse off than Aston Villa. But it just seems, Jamie, things are going bad for worse for them.
Yeah, very difficult position to be in. What are we? How many games in?
Five
Five.
in at the moment.
Yeah, difficult like to see yourself bottom of the table, but I think we've seen it with Crystal Palace, and I've said it before, a win changes a lot in this league, especially down around the bottom. So like I said previous, you need to drag as many teams as you can into this relegation battle, and try and pick up points anywhere you can. So yeah, I think that's what West Ham will be doing, as well as Everton, because obviously they are joint kind of bottom. So yeah.
Well, I was going to ask you about Everton. Once again, an awful performance for them, and also an awful result from them in that they had that narrow enough, but still a defeat to Leicester, who are actually maybe we're not giving them enough credit considering where they are in the table. But they have always, since they've come up into the league, they have been quite impressive. I mean, is there a world where, Brian Sorensen over the international break is maybe given the boot, or is it too early in the season? Is there too many, they've been so unlucky with injuries, as we talked about before, losing two players in the first couple of weeks of the season. What can they do to put the ball in the back of the net, I suppose?
Yeah, it's a really difficult one. I think looking at it, like they conceded early again, and you just look at Courtney's reaction in a goal. She's just so frustrated, really frustrated, and yeah, to concede early again is not great. And then I think like they did have kind of more possession in the game, but only managed two shots on target, compared to Leicester's five. So yeah, I think the problem is obviously conceding early goals, and then where are the goals coming from for Everton, to pick themselves back up? And again, yeah, this relegation battle is going to be tough, and you need to keep clean sheets, and then you also need to score if you want to win and pick up those 3 points that are very vital. But yeah, they had kind of chances late on as well in the game, because I think the game got stretched a little bit towards the end, and they maybe should have scored, but again, just couldn't hit the target.
Yeah, a difficult one for them, but again, also very impressive from Leicester. One of the bigger scorelines of the weekend was that 5-2 win for Chelsea, and it ignited a bit of a debate because of Spurs' goal that probably shouldn't have been a goal. Scarlett, I don't know, where do you fall down on the should there be VAR, should there be some sort of technology in the women's game that isn't currently there?
Yeah, well, I think the whole VAR thing's probably a different conversation. That's a few years down the line, I think, for the facilities that the women's game have over in England. But I think goal line technology definitely has to come in just for situations like that. It's been in the men's game for a while, ever since the World Cup, I think, where it was Lampard's ghost goal, I think, that wasn't counted, but was clearly over the line. So I think that definitely needs to come in, just as a bit of clarity, because Hannah Hampton, and she's like you've seen, was fuming with the decision. Now, there was a few different camera angles given in the replays, but I couldn't really make it out myself. It was bounced in, and then I don't really know, but I think for clarity, like it didn't really mean anything at the end of the day. Like Chelsea still won the game, but in a different game, that could be the deciding factor of it. Like, so I think you really need something to sort of distinguish it. And I know they have sort of beepers on the ref's watch if it goes in. So I don't know how difficult it is to implement that technology, but I think if it's possible, definitely get it in. Like it'll only help.
Yeah, I think it was so hard for the lineswoman to even call that. Like it's so hard to see from that angle too. And like you said, Scarlett, like there was different camera angles of it, and I couldn't even decide whether it was in or not looking at the pictures, let alone the lineswoman like flagging it. So I would agree with you. Goal line technology definitely should be in, and I think in an ideal world, VAR as well. But like you said, facilities. Yeah, it's not really a case for it now, with facilities in the league, because not all of them have the exact same, if that makes sense.
I'm interested to know because we've seen so many issues with how VAR has been implemented in the Premier League, and you don't have the same, I don't think, anyways, in the European leagues, especially in terms of the time it takes to make decisions. If you were, say, in the next couple of seasons to implement it in the women's game, are there certain elements of it that you would change? Would you only bring it in for certain things? Because I've always thought something like goal line technology would be so handy if you just had a sensor that kind of sensed on the pitch whether someone was slightly ahead of another player, rather than all the camera angles and the fiddling that has to go around to get them and the long, long waits that there has been. Are there things that you would bring in that you would like to change? Like maybe, I don't know, a time limit on when a decision has to be made or something like that?
Yeah, I think with VAR, I think that's the most thing that people talk about. It's the time it takes to make a decision. Like you're sitting at home, you're watching the game and you're like, how long is this going on? And then you think of the players just waiting for the game to continue. Have they scored or have they not scored? So I think, yeah, putting the time limit on it could potentially change it. But I think it's just such a complex thing to get right. It really is.
What about you, Scarlett?
Yeah, it's funny. This is random, but I was doing a study in college last year. I was just reading an extract of a report piece done, and there was a study done on Premier League matches. And I think it was Mickey van de Ven. There was a call made on a VAR decision. I think it took like 4 or 5 minutes to make the decision, and he picked up a hamstring injury like directly after it. So obviously the players are standing about, you know, waiting for the decision to be made, and you might like freeze up if it's a cold night, and then you're going straight back into like a high intensity sprint. You know, it can lead to injuries as well. But I don't know, VAR is just a bit, it's very, very controversial at times. And I think the main thing is taking the sort of passion out of it. You know, if in the men's game, if a goal scored, you're kind of double checking, you're checking over your shoulder to see what the ref's saying, or if there's something coming up on the screen about a disallowed goal, it just kind of takes away a bit from the actual celebrations a bit, and kind of leaves you in doubt. So I wouldn't be the biggest fan of it now, but obviously it helps in certain situations like offside. But if you could just take out the time limit, but then that could lead to, you know, not incorrect decisions as well. So it's a grey area, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think as well, my thing about bringing VAR into the women's game is, and to be fair, I don't think it was the case in this situation, because I think it would have just been really, really hard for the assistant ref to judge one way or the other, or the lines ref to judge one way or the other what had happened, and she obviously saw something, so that's why she flagged it. But the standard of refereeing in general would probably need to improve if you're going to have those people coming in and making those adjudications, and just even for their own confidence levels. It's something we've talked about a lot on the podcast, that it's very difficult for referees when they're not getting the training that they should be getting, when they've maybe gone from semi-pro to pro very quickly, and then there isn't those supports in place. And because of exactly what the two of you have said about how VAR is received in the women's game and the mistakes or the time it takes for things to be decided, that's something that I'd really like to see come in before those sort of systems are implemented, just so for the referee's own sake and own mental health and own ability, that there's not this constant questioning of them, because it's already kind of hard.
Yeah, being a ref is difficult. Sorry, Scarlett. It's difficult on a normal day when you bring in VAR and this complex situation. It makes it harder. But like you said, there needs to be that kind of training in it before you obviously bring it straight into the WSL, like we're speaking here, because yeah, it is sometimes a grey area in the Premier League itself. So yeah, there'll be a lot of kind of extensive training, because yeah, we want it to be smooth for the refs as well.
Definitely. Yeah, I think on top of that, you have the, like, some referees, even the players, there's new rules implemented every year into all leagues across the world. And sometimes, like, players, referees don't even know what the rule changes have been. You know, you're not really prepped on it that much. And I think that's probably an issue as well, is there's different rules coming in every year, different rules taken out, and it's hard to keep up with them all. And I think a lot of players and referees disagree at times on the field with different decisions, and between, like, if it's a yellow card, if it's a whatever, it could be last man, what defines a last man challenge, what defines a goal scoring opportunity for a card, or different things. So there's very grey areas there as well in terms of what the actual rules are and changes that come in. So VAR would only add to that, I think.
They should just get us on the advisory panel. We clearly have all the ideas and answers to every question that's out there. Jamie, you're shaking your head. You're like, nope, not for me.
No, I'll stick to playing.
That's fair enough. And then finally, we've kind of already touched on this a little bit before, but Lauren Hemp's heroics for City against Aston Villa in that 2-1 win. both City men and women managing to get themselves out of trouble, although admittedly the men came a lot later than the women's did. I think Kemp now is like 20 chances or something I read over the weekend on goal, which makes her the most... or that makes it the most out of any player in the WSL. So she's having a great season. It's interesting when you look at the context of the situation in Manchester City at the moment, with Chloe Kelly not getting minutes, and those two players would always have been mentioned in the same sentence, having come up together, and talk of her potentially leaving at some stage during the season or else at the end of her contract because of that relationship breakdown with Gareth Taylor. But in Lauren Hemp's world, she's just taken over.
Yeah, it's an interesting one about Chloe Kelly. Obviously, both Lauren Hemp and Chloe Kelly played together at some stage on either wing. So yeah, it's an interesting one. Obviously, only themselves would know kind of what went on and if she's going to leave at the end of the season. But I really rate Chloe Kelly. She's kind of similar to Lauren Hemp in her play. She's direct, she's fast, she's strong. It's a difficult one. But obviously Lauren Hemp, again, just such a standout performance. Even for her assist for Jill Roard, like, it was just insane. She just walked past the defenders. Just so technical and skillful. And then obviously for Jill to score her first goal back from ACL, it was really nice to see.
Definitely. I've just spotted some breaking news that has happened while we've been recording the podcast that's related to the league here. And that's James O'Callaghan has stepped down as his role as manager of P-Mount. The one week we don't have Karen on the podcast, so this is the news that breaks.
She's not on.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I will say that this isn't the reason why Karen isn't on. She won a county final at the weekend, so we gave her the week off to enjoy the celebrations because she has been trying for this for a while, and I think it was a very big deal for her club. So we were like, do you know what? Enjoy yourself. You won't have caught as much football because you'll have been doing the final. So we send our congratulations. But yeah, James Callan's statement here says, after 11 incredible years with P-Mount United, including 8 seasons as senior manager, my time has come to step down. I want to express my greatest gratitude to all the wonderful people connected to this unique club, to the players, committee and volunteers. You are the heart and soul of this true giant of women's football in this country. I'm most proud of the togetherness, values, culture and family environment we've created along the way. It has been an absolute honour to work alongside you all, and I wish nothing but continued success in the future. I think this is one we kind of saw coming, maybe a lot more so than the Kilduff news that broke after the cup final at the weekend, Scarlett. But, you know, 11 years of the club, the success that they've achieved in recent years. I know this year was a little bit more of a difficult one for them, but a legacy that he's leaving if he decides not to continue on within the league, or at least if he even leaves and gives himself a bit of time.
Yeah, and James is just one of those guys that always, you know, he always has a laugh out of him. You know, he's very, very charming individual, but yeah, a true legend of the league. And as you said, a great legacy to have left behind him, like countless Premier Division titles, like few FAI Cups. Like, he's really brought that P-Mount team on, and they've achieved incredible things. Obviously, qualifying for the Champions League on multiple occasions as well. Like, he's a brilliant manager, and he's a great character as well. And it's disappointing news to if he decides to step down from the league as well. So he'll be truly missed, and his character will be missed as well. So he's a great advocate for the league, and yeah, fair play to him. He's had a great career at P-Mount.
What's his management style like? Because obviously you spent time at P-Mount.
Yeah, like, James is a great character, a great guy, as I said. Like, he's very straightforward, but he's one of those great man managers. You know, he kind of knows you. He knows the type of players he has around him. If they need kick up the backside or arm around the shoulder, you know, he's really in tune with how all his players work. And that's obviously been a big part of his success, you know, being able to talk to his players. And obviously they've had a lot of players go abroad as well, so they've had to deal with a lot of changes, like, countlessly over the last year. So he's done a great job with them, and they've always played a good style of football, always been a successful club, and probably one of the most iconic clubs in the country, especially considering that they're a standalone women's club, and they've achieved what they have is just outstanding, and he's been a big part of that. So yeah, again, as I said, a P-Mount legend forever, I'd say.
Jamie, I know you guys have had your rivalries over the years, but it's important as in a sense to keep that sort of institutional knowledge within the league. You know, someone who has spent 11 seasons at one club knows the league inside out. You know, we've talked about it before with Eileen Gleeson whenever she was head of women and girls football, and that her institutional knowledge is so important. These characters are the reason why we got to a World Cup last summer, that we're on the edge of looking at a potential Euros next summer as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, as you said, everything starts with club football in Ireland, and then people progress elsewhere. So people like James O'Callaghan being at PMEN for 11 years, like, he's seen a lot of players come in, a lot of international players come in, and he's obviously coached a lot of them. And yeah, a real legacy at Piemont, like winning leagues, getting to Champions League, really leaving the club in a better place. And he's given a lot to Irish football, women's football. And yeah, he'll be missed, but I'd say he'll give a lot of advice to his next the next manager in charge. But yeah, no, he'll be very, very much so missed, and because he's given a lot to the league in Ireland.
Definitely. Well, we will get Karen's reaction about that hopefully next week whenever she returns from her little break away. But for today, Jamie, Scarlett, thank you very much. Very much appreciated. I hope you both enjoy the game on Friday, aka I hope there are lots of goals for us all to enjoy. The Koi Gig Pod on Off the Ball is brought to you by Cadbury, official snack partner to the Republic of Ireland women's national team. We will be about over the next while with plenty of reaction and hopefully build up to the European qualifiers and the Georgia games. So until then, we will leave you there and we will chat to you all very, very soon.
The Koi Gig Pod on Off the Ball in association with Cadbury, official snack partner of the Republic of Ireland women's national team.